Last time we were talking about the practice of the layman or the lay life, how the teaching of the Buddha is practiced in the lay life. We said there are two levels. One is to practice as a layman, the other is to practice as a monk or nun. So we were discussing how a person practices the Dhamma in the lay life. And there we mentioned that there are five stages in this practice. The first stage is the stage of devotion. And we discussed that the stage of devotion is to have what we call saddha. Saddha is what we can call the right sense of values. Some people translate the word saddha as faith, but that is not a proper translation. Here, faith, the word faith means trust or belief. There is no real belief in Buddhism. What we have to do is to understand, not to believe. So understanding comes when we understand what a Buddha is, and when we understand what a Buddha is and what he taught, then we begin to appreciate the teaching of the Buddha, the Dhamma, and even the Sangha, who are followers of the teaching of the Buddha. And it is because we appreciate this that we worship the Buddha. To worship is to recognize the worth of the Buddha. And we also bow to the Buddha, we make offerings to the Buddha, we chant praises or appreciation of the Buddha. So everything that we call devotional practice is the first step, the devotional practice. You can come and sit. Now in practicing, the devotional practice is the first level. Once we are appreciating the Buddha, when we appreciate what the Buddha did, when we appreciate what the Buddha taught, and we appreciate the followers of the Buddha, who are following the teachings of the Buddha. Then we begin to act according to the teaching of the Buddha. And this main teaching of the Buddha is to become unselfish. The unselfishness. Because what is seen as bad is all selfish thinking, selfish speaking, selfish action, selfish living. So when we become interested in the welfare of others, we become extroverted, in the sense that we become interested in others. That way, our mind becomes a broad mind. We are not only thinking about ourselves, we begin to think about others. And by thinking about others, we become civilized. So to become civilized is to start thinking about others. Not only ourselves. So it's very important to understand that Buddhism is a civilization, not a culture. Culture separates people. If you think I am Chinese or I am Indian or I am Japanese or something like that, that is culture. The moment you begin to think in terms of culture, you separate yourself from other people. But when we become civilized, we recognize the importance of all, whether it is Chinese or Japanese or Indian or British. We don't care who that person is, but as long as that person is also a human being or maybe a being who is suffering in the world, all beings are suffering in the world. So we have sympathy for others, compassion for others. So when we are thinking of all beings, our mind is broadened. Now with this broadening of our behavior, that is called sila. So sila is the broadening of our behavior. We are thinking of others. We said that the sila of the Buddhist is not because we want to escape going to hell, or because we want to go to heaven. That is not the purpose of the Buddhist. The Buddhist will practice the five precepts because the Buddhist has sympathy for others. We don't want to harm anyone. We don't want to hurt anyone. We don't want to steal from others. We don't want to practice sexual misconduct. We don't want to lie. We don't want to take intoxicants and create problems for others. Now, all this is always thinking of others as important as ourselves. So we are broadening the mind in the practice of the five precepts. This is why it is not necessary for a Buddhist to believe in karma and rebirth. Karma and rebirth is not the important dogma of a Buddhist. The Buddha accepted that karma and rebirth was a fact, but that was not his teaching. There were other people who were practicing that even during the time of the Buddha. So the Buddha's main teaching was to become interested in the welfare of all beings. That is metta. Metta. Now the next step is the learning of the teaching of the Buddha, which is to learn the teachings and or study or education. So education is being educated with the teachings of the Buddha, which is thinking of becoming unselfish. So in becoming unselfish, we also begin to learn it through meditation. We cultivate what is called the divine living. We are not trying to live like an ordinary human being. We are trying to live like God, who is of a higher level than the normal human being. That is the divine life, which is called Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means, Brahma means God. Charya means living. That is the divine life. So we are trying to live a godly life, which is a superior kind of life. So a Buddhist is a person who is trying to rise above normal human nature. Normal human nature is self-centered. That is what is called lobha, dosa and moha. Lobha is lust, dosa is hate, and moha is the thought, I am. That is the self-centered way of thinking. To give up lobha, dosa and moha is to become purified and your mind becomes broadened. The broad mind. So in broadening the mind, there are four things to be learned. Metta, karuna, mudita and upekkha. Metta is moving outwards to the world to be thinking of all beings, not only human beings, even animals and even beings beyond this world, all beings, we think, may all beings be well and happy, comfortable, peaceful, happy. So that is metta. Metta is like the area dimension. We are sending out, broadening our mind. When we come to karuna, we are thinking of how deeply are we interested in the welfare of all beings. It's the depth dimension. It's not only the area, but also the volume. So three dimensions. And when we cultivate karuna in this way, we don't see the distinction between oneself and others. We go beyond this distinction between oneself and others. And when we go beyond this distinction, we cease to think about I and you, I and the others, because there is no difference between I and you. So instead of thinking of I and you, you begin to think of we all, not just I and you, we. And when we begin to think of we, the I disappears, the self disappears. We stop thinking of a self. When we stop thinking of a self, all selfishness disappears. When all selfishness disappears, all unhappiness disappears. Because all unhappiness is selfish. We become unhappy because I don't have this, I don't have that. Someone did this to me. So that is how we become unhappy. All connected with ourselves. So when our mind has gone beyond thinking of ourself, we are thinking of all beings, all selfishness disappears and all unhappiness disappears. Then we become happy. It is the happiness of selflessness. With this happiness of selflessness, our mind becomes calm and tranquil. That happiness is not an excitement. We don't sing and dance. We become calm and tranquil. Our mind becomes tranquil. Our body relaxes. When the body relaxes, we feel comfortable. When we begin to feel comfortable, our mind enters what is called samadhi. And samadhi means tranquility of mind, the stillness of the mind. So when the mind becomes tranquil,
thoughts.
We are able to think more clearly. And our mind becomes introverted. First we were extroverted, thinking of all beings. Now we become introverted, but by becoming introverted, we don't become self-centered, because there is no self anymore. We can observe what is going on inside, which is to observe the mind. We are able to observe the mind. And when we observe the mind, we also become aware of what is called the process of perception. And when we become aware of the process of perception, we are able to see that there is no self to talk about. We become completely selfless. And our mind is not disturbed by whatever happens in the external world. Whatever happens in the external world, our mind is unshaken. That is upekkha. So we have metta developing into karuna, and karuna developing into mudita, which is the happiness of selflessness, and mudita developing into upekkha. Upekkha is seeing within. Now the next step is chaga. Now from here we have understood how the mind is educated. When our mind is educated in the proper way, we practice chaga. Chaga means self-sacrifice. Chaga is self-sacrifice. We sacrifice, we are able to share with others and care for others. Sharing and caring. If others are hungry and we have food, we can give some food to the other person to overcome the hunger. That kind of sharing and caring for others, that is the chaga. So we are living an unselfish life. We are living a selfless life. That is chaga. So it's very important to understand that. We started with extroversion and then we began to practice introversion of attention and to realize that there is no self. And now we are practicing the unselfish life where we can help others, not only ourselves. So we won't be competing. There is no competition. There is cooperation. Instead of competition, we have cooperation. We all join together because we are thinking of we, not of I and you. So this is the real Buddhist life. Earlier we had what is called a vicious circle, because we were self-centered, thinking always of self, worrying over things unnecessarily, and leading an unhappy life. But now we have changed. We practice saddha, appreciation of the Buddha's selflessness, and we practice sila, which is the practice of the unselfish kind of life, where we don't hurt others, harm others. We are always thinking of others with a broad mind. And we cultivate broad mind by cultivating metta. And metta leads to karuna. And karuna leads to mudita. And mudita leads to upekkha. And with upekkha comes the realization of impersonality. We experience not a personality, we experience impersonal experience, not a personal experience. Therefore, we are not thinking of existence, we are thinking of experience only. We are not thinking in terms of existence, existence of me or you or others. We are thinking that this is only an experience without a self involved in it. So when we begin to understand this, we enter what is called panya. Panya. We begin to understand that it is our emotions that create the idea of self. Self is not a rational concept. It's an emotional feeling. When the mind is free of emotions, we don't feel existence. We don't feel a self. We don't think I am. All self-centeredness disappears. The lust, hate, and delusion disappear. And then we begin to see the three characteristics of life: anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Anicca means that everything in this world is dependent on conditions. And what is dependent on conditions is unstable. This table is dependent on the legs. The table can fall if the legs break. because it is dependent on conditions. In the same way, our life is dependent on conditions. If we don't have air to breathe in, we die. If you don't have water to drink, we die. If we don't have food to eat, we die. If we don't have the proper temperature, we die. If we don't have the proper pressure, we die. So many conditions necessary for us to be existing. So what is dependent on conditions is unstable. And what is unstable is insecure. That is the insecurity of life. That insecurity is the suffering. And what is insecure is not as I want. I don't want insecurity. What is insecure is not as I want. If it is not as I want, it is not under my power. What is not under my power is not mine. If it is not under my power, it is not mine. Even this body, although I think it is mine, it is not mine. Because it begins to grow old, it falls sick, it dies. That is not as I want. If it is not as I want, it is not under my power. What is not under my power is not mine. So therefore this body is not mine. If the body is not mine, we should be able to give it up. We should give up the body, stop becoming attached to it. If we are able to stop becoming attached to anything in the world, all suffering comes to an end. Understanding these three things, anicca, dukkha and anatta, brings all suffering to an end. That is why the Buddha said, sabbe sankhara aniccati yada panyaya passati athani bindati dukkhe esa maggo visuddhiya. If a person understands anicca, the instability of things, that person will be free from all suffering. If a person understands the suffering connected with everything that we become attached to, and we are able to give up this attachment, all suffering comes to an end. If we are able to understand the impersonality of all experience. All experience is impersonal. Then all our thought, of self disappears. And when our thoughts of self disappears, all suffering comes to an end. What the Buddha calls suffering is birth, old age, and death. We don't like old age. We don't like death. That is the suffering. But why is it a suffering? It is a suffering only because what is growing old is just myself. And what is dying is also myself. What is falling sick is also myself. If we begin to understand that, we have understood suffering. That means, suffering means, some people think, suffering means to be born is to suffer. The cause of all suffering is birth. And therefore the only way to end suffering is to stop being born. That is not what the Buddha taught. That is not Buddhism. Suffering is not because of birth. Suffering is because of self. We think we are existing. And what is born is myself. What is growing old is myself. What is dying is myself. If we think that what is born is myself, what is growing old is myself, what is dying is myself, then there is suffering. But the fact is, what is born is a body. What grows old is a body. And what dies is a body. And if we understand that the body is not myself, body is not mine, then the body growing old doesn't involve me. The body falling sick doesn't hurt me. The body dying is not happening to me. There is no me to happen anything. But how did I get a me? Because I personalized the body. I personalized the body and said, this body is mine. It is because I personalized the body that I came into existence. If I didn't personalize the body, then there would be no I to talk about. If I didn't personalize what I call the mind, then there is no me to talk about. It is personalizing that produces the I, the me. Why do I personalize? because of emotion. The emotional reaction to sensations. The emotional reaction to feelings of pleasure, pain, or the neutral feeling. It is because of that emotional reaction that I begin to personalize even the process of perception. Even the process of perception, we personalize and say, I perceive, I feel. I feel whether it is pleasure or pain or neutral feeling. The I is what is creating the problem. Now, if we examine our mind rationally, using our intelligence, we can understand that there is no self to talk about. Because to talk about a self is to talk about the past, the present, and the future. Now, past is dead and gone, finished. There is no past to talk about. If we didn't have a memory, there'll be no past. So past is only a memory. And future has not even come. The future that we think of is all in our imagination. So there is no past, there is no future. Then is there a present? Even the present, what are we talking about? Is it this day that I am talking about the present? Or is it this hour that we talk about as present? Or if it is the minute that we are calling the present? Or is it the second that we are calling the present? Or is it a fraction of a second that we are calling the present? If we begin to think like that, there is no present to talk about. Every fraction of a second, the present is becoming the past and it is dead, finished. So in other words, there is no present even to talk about. So there is no past to talk about, there is no present to talk about, and there is no future to talk about. Then how can we say we are existing? If you don't have a past or present or future, there is no self to talk about. If there is no self to talk about, then why are we feeling a self? That feeling is simply what the Buddha called tanha. It is that tanha, the feeling, that emotional reaction to sensations that we call the self. So this is why if we can get rid of these emotions, we'll be free from all unhappiness. The self is not a rational concept. The self is only a feeling. And it is only as long as we have that feeling self that we suffer. That we are born, we grow old, fall sick and die. All because of that feeling that is giving us a delusion of existence. So that is really the end of the Buddhist way of life. Saddha, Sila, Sutta, which is the study of the Dhamma, Chaga, the self-sacrifice, and with the self-sacrifice comes Panya, understanding. It is only when the self-sacrifice is done properly that the thought, I am, disappears. That is the layman's life. But there is also a monk's or nun's life, which is given as five things, but in different words. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. We have been discussing this part already, so we don't have to repeat that again. Only thing is, Saddha is the same thing that we discussed. To be able to appreciate the teachings of the Buddha, to appreciate the Buddha, and to appreciate the followers of the Buddha. Saddha. And Virya means the four kinds of practice, the harmonious exercise, which was to prevent unwholesome conditions arising, elimination of unwholesome conditions once they have arisen, the cultivation of the wholesome conditions, and the maintenance of the wholesome conditions. All these things we have discussed before. And then Sati.